Translation. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As will be clarified in the next verse, devotional service or direct bhakti yoga is the only absolute and auspicious means of deliverance from the grip of material existence. There are many indirect methods for deliverance from the clutches of material existence, but none of them is as easy and auspicious as bhakti yoga. The means of jnana and yoga and other allied disciplines are not independent in delivering a performer. Such activities help one to reach the stage of bhakti yoga after many, many years. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is said that those who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute are liable to many troubles in the pursuit of their desired goal. And the empiricist philosophers, searching after the Absolute Truth, realize the importance of Vasudev realization as all in all after many, many births. Bhagavad Gita 7.19. As far as yoga amongst the mystics who pursue the Absolute Truth, the one who is always engaged in the service of the Lord is the greatest of all. And the last instruction in the Bhagavad Gita 18.66 advises fully surrendering unto the Lord, leaving aside all other engagements or different processes for self-realization and liberation from material bondage. And the purport of all Vedic scriptures is to induce one to accept the transcendental loving service of the Lord by all means. As already explained in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, either direct bhakti yoga or the means which ultimately culminate in bhakti yoga without any tinge of fruitive activity constitutes the highest form of religion. Everything else is simply a waste of time for the performer. Srila Sridhar Swami and all other acharyas like Jiva Goswami agree that bhakti yoga is not only easy, simple, natural, and free from trouble, but is the only source of happiness for the human being. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'd like to humbly request the blessings of all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis to be able to share something on this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 33, translation again. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. So, it gets very clear here, towards the end of the chapter, that it's all about the direct devotional service. So, Shukadeva Goswami has explained yoga to Parikshit Maharaj for the benefit of the assembled sages who are gathered to hear this most auspicious conversation. But Shukadeva Goswami brings it back to the basics, or should we say, to the juice. And the juice is direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. This is what it's all about. So we can do other things, and as Prabhupada points out in the purport, as long as it culminates in bhakti yoga, then that's great. But does it culminate in bhakti yoga? Bhakti yoga, defined here, is direct devotional service. That's how Prabhupada's translated it in this text, direct devotional service. We hear it as devotional service here, bhakti yoga, direct devotional service, direct. What does direct mean? Direct devotional service is, when we say the basics, we just got to think, okay, is it just simply hearing and chanting? And yes, it is. It's hearing and chanting. It's just, for us, how well can we do the hearing and chanting? How absorbed are we when we do the hearing and chanting? How deeply can we connect with the most basics of hearing and chanting? Sometimes it's boring to hear it, isn't it? Oh, he's going to say, oh, here we go, hearing and chanting, here we go again, here we go. We hear this all the time. But Shukadeva Goswami is saying it all over and over again. So what is it? Why is it that we do other things? Why is it that we're doing other things? Which are not hearing and chanting. We're doing other things because we've got a material body with a specific nature that needs to be engaged. And if we are engaged correctly, if we are engaged according to our nature, then we are somewhat satisfied and peaceful. And with that peaceful mind, we can do better hearing and chanting. So that is the purpose. And then we can, and as we keep purifying ourselves in the service of the Lord according to what is our nature, then as we get more and more purified, then hearing and chanting will get a taste for hearing and chanting. The taste increases. The ruchi begins to come. We want to hear. Not just that we're in the Bhagavatam class because we feel it's the right thing to do, or we have to go, or we, you know, there might be some mental gymnastics going on. Or your temple commander said you have to be there. But whatever it is, is it because we've got the taste? I want to hear something about what Sukadev Goswami was saying. I want to hear something about this wonderful conversation. When we're chanting the holy name, it's such a struggle, isn't it? I mean, I don't know for everyone else, but for me, it's like, oh my God, the mind is just absolute chaos. The mind is in absolute... It's tragedy, actually, what I'm thinking of. And what I'm meant to be thinking, and who I'm meant to be thinking of, and where the mind actually is. But this is the process. And somehow or the other, if we just carry on, and we carry on, and we carry on, with a little bit more taste, and a little bit more absorption, then the purification just gets deeper, and then the taste seems to increase and increase. Prabhupada here is explaining that these other the means of jnana and yoga and other allied disciplines are not independent in delivering a performer. Such activities help one to reach the stage of bhakti yoga after many, many years. So it can take many, many years or many, many lifetimes. But bhakti yoga, hearing and chanting, it is the direct devotional service. When Lord Chaitanya was in Varanasi, he was being ridiculed by the Mayavadi sannyasis. Na kare Vedanta pata, kare Sankirtana. He's not interested in studying the Vedanta. Kore Sankirtana. He's just interested in this dancing and chanting, this Sankirtan. So this is how Lord Chaitanya was accused when he was in Varanasi, when he was in Banaras by the Mayavadi sannyasis led by Prakashananda Saraswati. And Lord Chaitanya, when he first heard this, okay, just imagine someone said this to you. Okay, imagine someone said this to you. You're just a sentimentalist. You're just hearing and you're chanting and you're dancing around. You're not really practicing spiritual life. Imagine someone said that to you. How would you react? Anyone want to say how they would react? I can say how I would react, but I'd be ashamed to admit it here. But I'd probably do something like, what are you talking about? Do you know what I'm doing? Do you know what I'm doing? Much better than what you're doing. Your thing's going to take many, many lifetimes. I'm going to be there this life. That's probably the way I would react with my background of non-etiquette, should we say. But that's and what is it? What is it ultimately? Ultimately, there's some insecurity. There's some insecurity inside. There's some insecurity that, hold on, because someone's accused me of something, because someone's accusing me of what I'm doing, I need to prove myself. I need to prove that what I'm doing is right. I need to prove that what I'm doing is better than you. I need to prove myself. I need to establish myself here because someone has accused me. But Lord Chaitanya, he wasn't flustered at all. E shaba shunya prabhu hase mane mane. So e shaba shunya prabhu, when the Lord heard this, hase mane mane, inside his mind, hase, he just smiled to himself. It's okay, and he rejected it inside and he just carried on. Amazing. It's like, okay, this is like whatever he's saying, that's okay. But I know what I'm doing is right, so it's cool. What he wants to say is cool. I'm okay. I'm secure in myself. I saw this wonderful foreword yesterday. Spiritual security means I don't need a big jai every time I say something or every time I do something. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Did anyone else see that? Anyone else see that? It was on WhatsApp yesterday. I was probably doing the round somewhere. But I saw that yesterday. That spiritual security means I don't need a big jai every time I say something or do something. And it's funny, isn't it? How we sometimes just live for this jai. Like when it's your birthday and the devotees glorify you and it's like, Prabhu ki jai! And it's like, oh, the ecstasy of people glorifying me. Or you give a class and someone says, oh, good class. And that's all you live for, that someone says it. And if no one says it, it's like, oh, why did I do the class? Was there something? What happened? What was the point of that? When you offer your, then it gets really deep, isn't it? Even when you're offering flowers to Prabhupada and Guru, did anyone see how devotionally I'm offering the flowers to Srila Prabhupada with all my heart, with all my devotion? And we come to realize that if we are in our minds always thinking about how others are perceiving us, to the degree we're thinking about how others are perceiving us, we're not perceiving Krishna, because we're then being absorbed in something else. We're not being absorbed in the right thing. So our activity might be a Krishna activity, but the consciousness isn't Krishna. The consciousness is me. So Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He didn't label it the International Society for Krishna Activities. He labeled it International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which means, yes, we do the Krishna activities, we do the devotional service in consciousness of Krishna. That's direct devotional service. This is bhakti yoga. That we're performing the service in consciousness of who is the recipient of the service. We are conscious of who is the recipient of the service. So it's not about me. It's not about me. When I'm doing the service to Krishna, it's not about how others perceive me or how I look and how I'm getting recognition or my reputation. It's about my connection with Krishna. And who cares what people think? Because I'm trying to really deepen my love for the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya was secure. He was okay with it. He was all right. I mean, he got accused. He just stayed quiet, smiled to himself and carried on. He didn't need to go out all guns blazing. So it also shows us that when it's not the right time to say something, it's not the right time to say something. There may be a right time, but that right time to react might not be the moment something has struck us. Sometimes if you are struck, you need to heal before you can do anything else. And maybe if we are struck mentally or verbally, emotionally, then maybe we need to heal from that so that we can then respond in a correct way and get the treatment first rather than being wounded and trying to react. Because when you're wounded, like if you broke your arm, you can't go and do something with your arm. You can't go and you have to wait for the arm to heal, wait for it to fix, and then use your arm. So if you've been, if we've been emotionally or verbally attacked, we may not need to react straight away. Maybe we can take some time. Maybe we can think before we act. Mode of goodness, think before we act. Mode of passion, act before we think. Mode of ignorance, don't act, don't think, just be a bum. That's mode of ignorance. But mode of goodness is think before we act. Think before we act. And Lord Chaitanya, he didn't act straight away. He didn't act. He's the Supreme Lord. He knows he's going to get an opportunity later on. And even us, if someone has said something to us, there and then might not be the right time. And we can think about it. Does it need to be there and then? And when it is there and then, a lot of the time, it just escalates and gets a whole lot worse. Because then two egos are clashing in the mode of passion. The result is never really that good. The result is actually a volcano erupting and things being said that may not need to be said. And when we think about it later, maybe what we're arguing over in Kali Yuga is generally trifles. We're arguing over some small matter that then expands into something huge. I remember when we were staying in the ashram many years ago, and one devotee came and he was telling me I had to go and do. I think I was on bins and boxes. Do we still have that, bins and boxes? Yeah. So we were doing bins and boxes, and I remember one devotee, he came to me and he said something about moving the bin, and I'm like, no, but I did it fine. And then we just got into a clash. Like, no, you do. You go now. I'm like, no, I'll go in a little while. No, you go now, bro. And it just turned into something. And then he started calling me names, I started calling him names. Like, what is going on? And then a few hours later, we both realized, what was the point of that? How gave each other a big hug, hurry ball, maha sweet exchange. And then it's like, oh, we didn't need to do all that before, did we? You know, it was just, but what happened? I reacted. You know, it's just like, just straight away, reaction. So Lord Chaitanya, we can learn from him. Eshaba shunya prabhu. When the Lord heard this, Hashe mane mane, he smiled to himself. When we are secure in our spiritual life, when we are secure in what we are doing and who we are doing it for, then we don't take these things so seriously. Because if we are acting correctly, if we are acting for the purpose of the Lord, and if we are acting with integrity, with honesty, integrity, and our mood is to serve the Lord, then it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter. So then later on, Lord Chaitanya did get his opportunity, because the problem was that the Mayavadi sannyasis, and in particular Prakashananda Saraswati, were accusing Lord Chaitanya of not practicing spiritual life the correct way. So when Lord Chaitanya got invited, he got invited by a brahmana, and he went to the house where all the sannyasis were. The first thing he did is he went and sat, not with all the sannyasis, he went and sat in the place where everyone goes to wash their hands and their feet. So he went to sit in what's basically an unclean place where people go to wash their hands, wash their feet. That's where he went. So this firstly describes that, okay, so Lord Chaitanya, he's approaching a situation. He knows he's going to be maybe getting into some confrontation, something's going to happen, because there's 60,000 sannyasis and the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis and then himself. But he approached it with humility. He didn't go with his boxing gloves. He went and sat in the place, in the unclean place, in total humility. And so he's sitting in this place very humbly. So obviously for us, if we're in a situation, we might have to go and find a place where there's a wash place where people wash their feet. People don't even wash their hands and feet anymore in the material world. But the thing we can take from this and understand from this is we approach the situation with humility. Lord Chaitanya approached the situation with humility. And Lord Chaitanya then, what did he do? Okay, he realized that the way to deal with this is firstly to attract the audience. Attract the audience. How do you attract an audience? Well, we have to be intelligent into understanding who the audience is. Who are we with? Who are we preaching to? Who are we preaching to? And then we intellectually think about it and try and engage them according to who they are and what their nature is, what they are inclined to. So Lord Chaitanya, Mahatejo Maya Vapu Koti Surya Basha, this Mahatej, this brilliant effulging light started to appear around Lord Chaitanya, like Koti Surya Basha, like millions of suns. Like millions and millions of suns. So what is this? Well, what are Mayavadis attracted to? Brahmajyoti. So this radiant light is coming around Lord Chaitanya. So this radiant light is coming around Lord Chaitanya. And then the Mayavadis are getting very, very attracted. This light. This is the light. So this light attracted all of the sannyasis, because that's their goal of life. So what is our audience? In nowadays, we see that what was the counterculture back in the 70s, when 60s and 70s, when Prabhupada came to the West, has now become kind of like the yoga mindfulness space, where people are looking at a means of a different means of life apart from your day-to-day 9-to-5, or as well as your day-to-day 9-to-5, but something a bit more, and where the general public are generally looking at yoga, meditation, mindfulness. So this is kind of like where there's a massive market to make devotees. But what did Lord Chaitanya do? He attracted the audience. So he didn't just grab these people and say, come here and chant Hare Krishna. First he attracted them. So yoga can be a way of harmonizing to bhakti yoga. It can be used as a means to harmonizing with bhakti yoga. So the conversation started and the sannyasis got attracted, and the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis, Prakashananda Saraswati, basically said to Lord Chaitanya, look, you're dancing around sentimentally like some sort of fanatic. What are you doing? Like, you know, you're a sannyasi from Keshava Bharati. You know, like, what are you up to, man? Like, sort it out. Come and study Vedanta philosophy with us. Come and do the real thing. Give up this nonsense. So Prakashananda Saraswati had some preconceptions. He's just got some preconceptions. Like, if you're chanting and you're dancing, you're a fanatic. And something that can trouble us in our spiritual life is what preconceptions we hold. So, for example, Arjuna, when he was on the battlefield and didn't know what to do, he had preconceptions. His preconception was that either I can be the king and win the kingdom, or I can be a devotee, or I can be a spiritualist if I run away. I've got to choose. Do I want to be a spiritualist or do I want the kingdom? But I can't do both, because in his opinion, at that time, what he was thinking was, if I need to get the kingdom, then I need to kill all my relatives. So how is that peaceful? How is that the right thing to do? And Lord Krishna explained to Arjuna that ultimately this is your preconception. If you fight, but you do mam anushmaram yudhya cha, if you fight but remember me, then what you're doing is you're not fighting for yourself, you're fighting for me. Direct devotional service. You're doing something for Krishna. We're doing it for Krishna. And when we're doing something for Krishna, then we can do both. We can act and be spiritual at the same time. So Arjuna thought it was one or the other. So preconception, that preconception got him into a big dilemma. A big dilemma. And the biggest danger for us is when our preconceptions are on other devotees. When we have a certain feeling or a certain like or dislike because of our conditionings towards devotees, our preconceptions can be very, very damaging. And then it can lead to offense. And once things start leading to offense, taste goes away. The taste for hearing, the taste for this direct devotional service goes away. We may have even experienced it. When we don't feel like coming to the temple, when we don't feel like waking up early in the morning, when I don't want to associate with the devotees, when all of this starts to happen, it's very likely we've offended a devotee. It's very likely that that's the case, that there's some offense that's been caused and the mercy has been withdrawn. So these preconceptions, it's quite funny. Like, if you think about it, if you like a devotee, whatever they do, it doesn't matter because you like them. And if you don't like a devotee, whatever they do, it doesn't matter because you don't like them. And when we get into this conditioned space, this can really, really damage our wholesome look at Krishna consciousness. So for example, I went to a devotee's birthday recently, and I love this devotee. He's such an amazing devotee. I was looking around thinking, wow, this is amazing. And he was taking prasadam, and he was taking more prasadam. And I was just loving watching him take prasadam. It was just like watching him take so much prasadam was just like so joyous, because like, oh, he's having such a nice time, such a good devotee. And I was feeling love for him just watching him take prasadam. And he was like one thing on his plate, another thing. It was his birthday. He was enjoying himself as you would on your birthday, taking prasadam with devotees. It's such an amazing, fun thing to do. And then when I see a devotee who I don't quite like, and they're taking lots of prasadam and having more, I'm just like, God, this guy, man, he's like, needs to control his senses. You know, what a hog. You know, like all these thoughts start coming into the mind. But they might be just taking the same amounts of prasadam. Maybe, but the thing is, you like one devotee and you're feeling love for that devotee because they're taking prasadam, and the other devotee you don't quite like, and you're just starting to criticize him in your mind, like anything. Like anything. So the problem isn't what they're doing. The problem is how we perceive them. It's not what they're doing. What they're doing is actually not a problem, because we didn't see a problem. I didn't see a problem with the devotee, my friend, who was taking prasad. I thought it was amazing. Wow, he deserves it. What a guy, he deserves it. The other devotee, God. I can't even look at this guy. I need to go sit somewhere else. I can't even take prasadam looking at him. You know, it's that kind of mentality that separatist mentality that then causes us to cause offense. And then what will happen one day? That separatist mentality will be, one day we'll do that with Krishna. Oh, Krishna, forget it. My life is in too much turmoil. Forget you, Krishna. Forget it. I'll go somewhere else. You know? So if we've got that in us, where will it stop? Where will it stop? So for us, we can really practice the art or the humility, like Lord Chaitanya, just have that humility of how does the verse go? Trinadapi sunichena tarodapi shahishana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari amanina manadena. Don't expect respect, but just give respect. Just give respect. Now, it might be hard, amanina. It might be hard to not want respect because we're so conditioned in our stage of spiritual life, we might still want that a little bit. We can't just switch that off. It's not wanting respect is not something we can just switch off. Like, we can't just click and it's gone. I don't want it anymore. Like, I'll wake up tomorrow morning and I don't need any respect at all. I'm cool. I'm done with that. That you can't switch off. You just can't switch that off straight away. It takes time. But one thing we can all switch on straight away is giving respect to others. That doesn't require years and years and years of purification. Not wanting respect will take some time, but we can get there. But giving respect to others, we can switch it on right now. Like, we can just switch it on straight away. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Bhagwan Ki, Shri Gaur Nithai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai. So we can give respect to everyone. And with this mood of giving respect to everyone, just being respectful, being happy when we see a Vaishnava, then naturally good energy will surround us more. Spiritual energy will surround us more. And we can see this, that if a devotee doesn't like you, or doesn't like us, but if we give back that same energy, then it's just creating a problem. But if a devotee doesn't like us, but we can still like them back, respect them back, and like them, even if they don't like us, then suddenly it's okay. And we can do that with practice. We can do that with practice. Actually, just give it a try. And we'll see that actually, and I've tried this actually recently with a few, in a few different occasions, and I realized I'm so much less disturbed. I'm so much less disturbed. So if a devotee who I can just sense doesn't like me because many years ago this may have happened or whatever it is, and gives you a certain look or certain way and you feel a little about it, but if you just send off positive vibes, smile, Hare Krishna, whatever it is, and be respectful, then we see that we feel so much less disturbed. Because then there's nothing, then it's not us anymore. It's not us. If someone else has got a problem, that's them. But from our side, if we can be positive, if we can send positive spiritual energy and be respectful and be happy when we see the devotees, then we will become Krishna conscious. We will become Krishna conscious, and we are here to become Krishna conscious. We're not here just to perform the activity. If we're here just for the activity to gain some prestige, then we're going to feel hugely frustrated. Hugely frustrated, and not really ever taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. We won't taste it. We won't taste it. So Lord Chaitanya is Prakashananda Saraswati is telling Lord Chaitanya about this with his preconceptions. And Lord Chaitanya says, Namavinu kolikale nahi aradharma sarva mantra saranam e shastra marma. That actually, namavinu kolikale nahi aradharma. Namavinu, there's nothing more than the chanting of the holy names in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, there's nothing more. Sarva mantra sharanam e shastra marma. And this mantra, this chanting of the holy name, is the shastra marma. It's the purport of all the shastra. It's the purport, it's the essence of all the scriptures. So we're reading all this Vedanta. You're reading all this Vedanta, but what's the purport of it? The purport of it is Namavinu, this name of Krishna.
And then he went, that's when the famous verse, actually, in that conversation, he's telling Prakashananda Saraswati, that famous verse, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata, that there's nothing more important than chanting the holy name in this age of Kali Yuga. Nothing more important. And he said to Prakashananda Saraswati that I went to my spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, Japite, Japite, Mantra, Korila Pagal, that I've gone mad. Japite, Japite, I've gone mad chanting this holy name. Pagal, I've gone crazy chanting this holy name. What mantra have you given me that is doing this to me? And compared to Dharma, Artha, Karma and Moksha, Krishnaya Vishayaka Prema Parama Purusharta Yara Age Trinatulya Charipura Sharta, that compared to Dharma, Artha, Karma and Moksha, this Krishna Vishayaka Prema, this love of Godhead, this love of Krishna is so magnificent that these four Dharma, Artha, Karma and Moksha, this Chari Purushartha, these four other goals of religion, is nothing but Trinna Tulya. Yara Age Trinna Tulya. Nothing more than insignificant straw in the street. So comparing all these things that you're getting, what is this direct devotional service? What is this chanting of the holy name giving me? This chanting of the holy name is giving me something way beyond Dharma, Artha, Karma and Moksha. It's giving me love of Godhead. Love of Godhead. And then Lord Chaitanya went into it, because by now he can see that everyone's attracted. First he attracted them with the light. So first we find what can attract them. And once we know what can attract them, and we hear them, then we can give our side. And when he gives his side, then Lord Chaitanya, then he knew they were locked in. When they were locked in, he could go for it. He could go for it. He said, this Brahman realization, it's like shallow water in the canals compared to a huge ocean. So you've got this shallow water in a canal and then you've got this huge ocean. That's how we can compare Brahman realization to Bhagavan realization. So then Lord Chaitanya gave the philosophy. And they went, and because they accepted Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya, he just smashed it out. He just went for it. He didn't stop. When he was on it, he went for it. He didn't stop. These sannyasis, they transformed, and they always chanted Hare Krishna. He converted all the sannyasis. He converted the leader of the sannyasis, Prakashananda Saraswati, and they became devotees. They became Vaishnavas. So when we compare these other means, when we compare these other means of spiritual life to bhakti yoga, when we compare it to direct devotional service, there's nothing. There's nothing, and Lord Chaitanya said, Trinna Tulya, it's like insignificant straw in the street. So we want to be humble like a straw in the street, but what we want is the ocean. So we can get the ocean if we're humble like the straw in the street. We don't want to act like an ocean and then just get the straw in the street. So we want to do it the right way around. We want to act like the straw in the street and get the ocean of Krishna Prem. We don't want to act like an ocean, like we're so big, and then just end up with Trinna Tulya, insignificant straw in the street. We don't want to end up with that. So we can be very careful with our preconceptions. We can be very careful how we judge devotees in a critical way. If we have to rectify. If we've offended a devotee, we have to rectify. So often we think, okay, so if I offend a devotee, what do I do? I beg for forgiveness, kshama. I beg for forgiveness. Yes, we beg for forgiveness, but is that enough? Is that enough? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe we have to do something more. So there's shama, which is asking for the forgiveness, and there's anugraha, getting the favor of that devotee. So we have to take that next step. We can beg for forgiveness, kshama, and the Vaishnava will forgive, because that's the nature of a Vaishnava. The nature of the Vaishnava is that the Vaishnava will forgive us. But does that mean just because they forgave us that we're now in the clear?
So we could, because then we could just take advantage of it. You know that there's some real advanced, humble devotee. You could just keep offending them, and you could just keep begging for forgiveness. They'll keep forgiving because they're such a great Vaishnava, and they're seeing things in a totally different way, and they're happy to forgive you. And we're just like, we're just having a good time. Forgive. Oh, sorry, Prabhu. You know, like something else. Oh, sorry, Prabhu. And then what? And then what? Where does that leave us? Where does that, what does that actually do for us? Do we actually then transform? So for after we beg the forgiveness, kshama, which we should do, we have to come to this point of anugraha. Anugraha means seeking the special favor of that devotee. What does that mean? We go the extra mile to serve them. We go the extra mile to serve them, to make them happy, to please them, and that gets their favor. And when we get their favor, then we are totally forgiven. And what does that do for us? It also makes us not want to do that offense again, because we will have so much more joy. We'll see the joy in serving the devotee compared to offending the devotee, because we've taken that time to serve them and see the pleasure in the Vaishnava, that our heart will become, our heart will melt. And when our heart melts at the Vaishnava's pleasure, then we won't want to cause offense again. We won't want to do that again. So it's up to us to rectify our offenses by taking that extra step. It's beyond a sorry. It's beyond a sorry. It's beyond just, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't do that. It's like when Ram and Lakshman made that deal with Sugriva, that look, we'll kill Vali and then you're going to come and help us find Sita. But then when, by the time Vali was killed, then the monsoon season came. So then the rains came and the rains came. And then Sugriva kind of forgot about, he went into his kingdom and he kind of forgot that he had to do his side of things. He just started enjoying himself. So it was, and then Lakshman was going mad. And then Sugriva didn't just say, oh, sorry about that, and then pop back up to his kingdom. He said sorry, but then he went all out. He got the monkey army and he went all out, and they went and found Mother Sita. When they found Mother Sita, when Hanuman found Sita in Lanka, the whole army went to Lanka, and we all know what happened next. But this is an example of, we can't just say sorry, we want to take that extra step and gain the favor of the person that we have upset. And if we're finding ourselves with these preconceptions, then try and give the devotees the benefit of the doubt. In the material world, you're innocent till you're proven guilty. And sometimes amongst devotees, we're just guilty before we started. So we need to, even in the material world, they have this concept of innocent till proven guilty. So when we are thinking what the devotee may have done, or what the devotee is doing, or what they're thinking, and just judging them in a bad way, we can actually just give them the benefit of the doubt. That's much more peaceful for us. It's much, much more peaceful. Because otherwise our mentality will drag us down. Our own mentality will be the cause. And then when we're thinking, why can't I chant with attention? Why can't I chant with love for Krishna? Why aren't I feeling the hairs on end and the voice choking up? How can we feel it if this is our mentality? Krishna Vishayaka Prema. This love of Godhead is love. It's love of Godhead. It's love. So if we want love of Godhead, we have to have love in our heart. And love in our heart cannot come if we are offensive and critical of everything we see and everyone we see, just because they're not our friend, or just because they don't do what I do or like what I like. If we can get that wholesome picture in our spiritual life and appreciate everyone. Actually, if we appreciate the devotees, appreciate their service, even though their service is not the same as ours, if we can just appreciate their service for what they do for Krishna, appreciate the devotees and manadena, just keep giving respect to everyone,
then everything else will come. If we respect everyone, we won't want so much respect. We will become humble. We will become tolerant like a tree. And then, Kirtaniya Sadahari, one day we will be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And we can switch that on. We can't switch on not wanting respect. We can't switch on humble like a blade of grass. We can't switch on tolerant like a tree. We want all these things to manifest. But the one thing we can switch on is respecting others. And if we switch that on, the other things may take some time, but they will gradually also be switched on. So we will conclude here and read the text again. For those who are wondering, in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. Jay, thank you very much. Does anyone have any comments, questions, corrections? Prayojana Prabhu?
It can be misunderstood, this verse, in a sense, like you were pointing. For those wandering in the material universe, there's no more auspicious means than of deliverance aimed at in the direct devotional service of the Lord. But actually, to get direct devotional service, we have to serve, you know, as you pointed out, his parts and parcels. And giving all respect to them, as you point out. So it shouldn't be misunderstood that just by chanting Hare Krishna, actually, to get the real mercy of Krishna is we have to do what pleases him most. And that's when we serve each other as his parts and parcels, no matter who they are, as you point out in the Shiksakshtagam prayer, Trinadapi Samuchena. So I think that's the whole thing. And also in the Gurastika prayers, you know, the final verse, having the spiritual master to guide us, or the devotees to guide us, it can be fraught with danger. And that's will give us direct service to Krishna, because that'll please him. Understanding that we need guidance in this world by somebody who is conversant, who sees Krishna in himself by his own practice, you know, that Shiksha or that Diksha Guru, you know. So I think it was nice how you finished on that. It was a conclusion, wasn't it? How to serve each other, and eventually ill feeling disappears.
Thank you. Thank you, Prayojan Prabhu. Yes, so we want to all, as Prabhu's pointing out, we want to all serve each other, and by serving each other, we'll get that that taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prayojan Prabhu. Srinivas Prabhu?
Hearing and chanting. Okay. Is it possible to find benefit if we don't chant Hare's holy name? So it gives an interesting understanding on this. How is it possible to benefit without chanting? Chanting Hari's name is a Yuga Dharma, the prescribed process for this age. How can people of this age attain auspiciousness without following the prescribed method for the particular age? How can we attain auspiciousness by following paths other than chanting? After all, chanting was introduced by the auspicious Lord Himself. To think there is an alternative to the process of chanting Hari Nam is mental speculation. In this material world, people spend their time imagining alternatives to Harinam. Avoiding Harinam is what this world is about. Those who think that hearing and chanting are not the only necessary processes for spiritual upliftment try to measure the transcendental Lord against themselves, thereby transgress His orders. Such people are non-devotee servants of Maya. It is not good to contradict the Lord. By so doing, our ruination is inevitable. The Shastra states, Harinama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam, Kalanasta, Evanasta, Eva Gati, Anyatam. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way.
Okay, thank you, Srinivas. There's no other way. Roman, please.
Thank you so much for the class, Prabhu.
Thank you.
I have a question in regards to the mind. So as you nicely pointed out, the mind can be very judgmental. Also when I'm out on books, I can see that the mind can be quite active and sometimes it's difficult. And just recently I read that verse in the Gita again about one must elevate himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. Mm. So I'm thinking, should we at that stage try to push through when the mind is giving us something bad and like just completely ignore the voice of the mind? Because oftentimes it's better when we then just push through and then after that it gets better. Or will we get to that stage at some point where the mind really is going to uplift us and like help us?
Yeah, thank you, Raghavan Prabhu. So what do we do with the mind when the mind is giving us a hard time? Should we just push through? And you pointed out that verse in Bhagavad Gita, 6.5, I think, where Krishna says, just uplift yourself with the help of the mind. And then Krishna goes on to say that the mind can be your best friend or your worst enemy. See, ultimately we should do what Krishna says in that verse, which is to uplift ourselves with the help of the mind. So when the mind is giving us a hard time and we can recognize that the mind is giving us a hard time, we should know ourselves as to know what will help me now. What will help me now? And at different points in our spiritual life, different things and different means and different ways will help us. So for example, if you're feeling really, really low, mentally low, emotionally low, and you start reading a prayer, how you are, you know, I'm violent, I'm wicked, dukkha, jvara, jvara, you know, and you start hearing this, that might actually make you feel worse. That might, at that time, that might not be the right thing for you. At that time, you might just want to hear a prayer, ki jani, ki bale, you know, that, oh Krishna, by your mercy, I'm still here. So, with the help of the mind, we need to also think about what is going to help me now. If right now I need the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then I can approach Nityananda, Nittai Pada Kamala. Then I go to Lord Nityananda. So, and at some points when we're feeling proud or we're feeling like we're too doing, then we should read a prayer like Amara Jivana and we are, why am I seeing the, why am I feeling happy at the misery of others? Why am I feeling miserable at the happiness of others? So at the right time, get the right medicine. So it's, there's no one medicine doesn't fit all. You go to the pharmacist for some medicine. The pharmacist will ask you what's wrong, what are your symptoms, and then he gives you the medicine. So similarly, we need to know ourselves, and if we don't know ourselves because our mind is so disturbed and it's overpowered us so much, we should approach our spiritual doctors, our spiritual pharmacists, the guidance of the Vaishnavas, and they can help us understand ourselves better. And we should be intelligent about who we approach. Approach someone at that time that isn't going to maybe give us instruction about do this, do that, do this. Maybe just a devotee who will help you understand yourself better. Again, we have to be intelligent about who we approach. And then when we can understand ourselves better, then we can think about which medicine to take. So we have a responsibility to look after our spiritual lives. We can't dump that on someone else. Which, when we are new, we can think like, "Oh, I'm just going to dump this on my shiksha guru or my diksha guru, and they'll have to fix it for me." No, we have to become responsible in sorting out our spiritual lives, and we take the guidance, we get the mercy, we get the instructions of the devotees, but it's up to us to apply them and do them and apply them in the correct way. Does that make sense? Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, sure. Gaur Prajan Prabhu wants to quote a verse.
In chapter 6, text 34 of Bhagavad Gita, it says, the Arjuna, an obstinate and very strong, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than control the wind. Lord Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and detachment.
And thank you, Prajan Prabhu.
For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is very difficult work. But the one who strives to control the mind by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my attachment. He threw it right back at Arjuna's lap. He had to take responsibility by practice and detachment.
Thank you.
So in a way, it's a nice remedy there.
Yeah. It's nice that Arjuna says, Vayori Vasu Duskaram, more difficult than controlling the wind. And what Krishna did first, and this is why we have to be, why it's important that we find a devotee who can do this. Krishna first said, yes, Arjuna, it is difficult to curb the restless mind. And then he said, Abhyasena tu konteya vairagyana cha griyate. Then he said, by suitable practice and detachment. So Krishna heard Arjuna. Krishna reflected back what Arjuna was saying. He understood him. He said to Arjuna, yes, the mind is restless, the mind is difficult. And then he gave his guidance and instruction. So we want to find spiritual doctors and pharmacists and spiritual guidance who are going to take some time to understand us also. And therefore, then when we find devote and when we can do this for others, what's the benefit? The benefit is we're not just going to be given a one-size-fits-all medicine. We'll be given a particular medicine for our particular issue at that time. So thank you so much, Prayojan Prabhu. And then like what Krishna did, he threw it on Arjuna's lap. And Arjuna took it because he felt he's being heard, being understood. So he took it all. He took all the medicine. Jai. Anyone else like to share anything? Great. Thank you. Oh, yes, Mataji. Okay. Yes. Yes, it can take long, long time. So what we can do now is just switch on the things we can switch on. And then the rest of it, we've got to be patient. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.